Hey, you all, let's give God some praise this morning. Amen. Just thank Him for an early rising. Praise God that He may be found. Hallelujah. I know it's a little dreary outside. I know sometimes the weather has an effect on how we are physically and how we are mentally and all those other good things. But regardless of what's going on outside, we know that we have the Son, Christ Jesus, shining on the inside. Amen?
Amen.
And so, you know, when we talk about giving God praise, we thank God for all of His many manifold blessings upon our lives. We thank God for all that He does in each and every one of us. I don't know about you all, but when I think back over my life and all the crazy things that I've done, it was nobody else but Christ who kept me. Amen. I could have been gone a long time ago, praise God. I mean, how many of y'all were real wild when you were young? I know I was, amen. Did some daredevil stuff. It's okay to admit, ain't nobody going to hold you that. Ain't nobody hold you accountable for that thing right now. But did some real crazy and wild things when I was young, amen. And I know if it had not been, again, God smiling down on me and me finding favor with the Lord, I don't know where I would be this day, amen. But because I am here, I may not feel my best. I may not have everything working the way that I desire for things to work. But what I do know is that I'm in my right mind, praise God. I was able to make it here this morning safely. I was able to get out of my bed, praise God. Hallelujah, you know, praise God. Somebody did not wake up this morning. Somebody didn't see this day, amen. But because of, again, His grace and mercy, we are here, amen. And so I'm an interactive pastor, and so, you know, I like to touch you. I want you to touch me, praise God. I want us to work like we're computer, touch screen computers and all that other good stuff, because God actually wants to move and He wants to do great things through each and every one of us. And so it really is up to us to feel free in our praise. Amen. It's up to us to give God glory. As we heard Mama B say it earlier, she said, you know, the whole church has COVID, praise God. And that's not the first time that I've heard that, to where the church is no longer being able to have service because the entire congregation, as well as the pastor, has COVID. A friend of mine's, well, actually, Cammie's cousin, who's a full-time pastor, we was talking some months back, and he was talking about how out of, I don't know how many families in the church, but I know 39 families in the church, 39 families were, they had contracted COVID-19, and it had shut the entire church down. And so, again, you all, we have a lot to be thankful for. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Gotta be wise. Amen. But we got a lot to be thankful for this morning. Want to thank you all for allowing me to come back down here and sharing with you all the Word of God. It feels kind of short for me, only as I'm used to being down here about 4 or 5 times a summer. And we know that things have just kind of been in the way. But, you know, things will get back to some level of normalcy at some time or another, prayerfully, in the days ahead, and we can fellowship and do all the things that we desire to do. Turn your Bibles with me, if you have your Bibles, to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I was a little tossed this morning between what it was I was going to say, especially after my wife and I were driving down the road. We were talking about the sale of our land. Very difficult process for us. And the reason why I say it's a very difficult process for us is because it is the last thing that my sister and I have that gives us an attachment to my father. And so we're about to sell that land coming up pretty soon. And that land is down here in Spotsylvania County. And so we were just talking about it. And my wife said to me, as we've discussed in the past, is there anything too hard for God? And I said, absolutely not. Amen. Nothing's too hard for God. And so I almost went down that road this morning, but I'm going to go down Romans chapter 5. I'm going to read real quickly Romans chapter 5. Well, before I do that, let's do our confession of faith that we do at our church. Our church is Innis Glory Christian Ministries. We're not a denominational Christian, you all. So there's a thing that we do each and every Sunday. Raise your Bible if you have one with me. This is our confession that we do every Sunday. And it says, and repeat after me, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
For it's the power of God unto salvation.
For it's the power of God unto salvation.
For everyone who believes.
For everyone who believes.
For the Jews first.
For the Jews first.
And also for the Greek.
And also for the Greek.
For in it, the righteousness of God,
righteousness of God
is revealed.
From faith to faith.
As it is written,
the just
shall live by faith. That's Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. The other part we kind of put together ourselves as it relates to how God blessed Abraham and told Abraham, everyone that he that blesses him, that God will be a blessing to them. And so we just kind of hodgepodge, put this other piece together. Raise both hands up with me, but praise the name of Jesus. Say, miracle, Lord.
Miracle.
Shower
me
with
your
blessings
that
I
might
be
a blessing
in
the name
of Jesus. Whatever it is that you believe in God for, give God a praise of expectation. Amen. If you want God to do something in your life, amen. Believe God in advance. Praise Him in advance. Thank Him in advance. And wait for God to move in your life. Amen.
Amen.
And so, you know, we do that because I want to make sure that the blessing that I'm receiving can't nobody else take credit for except for God. Amen.
Amen.
And as God blesses me, I want to make sure that I'm what? A blessing to somebody else. I want to be God's conduit. Praise the name of Jesus. I want people to know that God is alive and well. Amen. I want them to understand that He's still moving in our life. He's still on the throne. He's still touching and changing lives each and every day. He's meeting people right where they are. He is still our God. He is a way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in our darkness. My God, that's who you are. Amen. We sang that song. Amen. Praise God. And we believe that at the end of the day. I know I do. I've seen some things happen in my life. I've seen some things happen in my wife's life and friends and family. I've seen God just move like never before. And so I am ever so thankful that God has done great miracles in the land today. And I don't know about you all, but I still need miracles. Praise God. I need God to move. I'm telling y'all right now, move like never seen before. But in Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 5, it reads this. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and that perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Amen?
Amen.
Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, God, I just thank you right now for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you are moving in this place. I thank you, God, that you're touching our lives each and every day. Sometimes, God, we don't recognize the move. God, sometimes we don't recognize the grace. Sometimes, God, we don't recognize the blessings. But, God, we know that you are there. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for not charging us for those things. But Heavenly Father, always giving us an opportunity, Heavenly Father, to be one step better, closer, Heavenly Father, to you, that we have that opportunity to be, Heavenly Father, those men and women that you're calling us to be in the new creation, God, that our old ways have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. All things now are of you in the name of Jesus. And I pray that everybody say amen.
Amen.
So I want to talk about this for a second, you all. I really want to focus on two verses out of here, which are verses 1 and verse 2. And we probably jump a little bit through all the five verses. I may not. We'll see how God runs this thing. Amen. I like for God to be large and in charge of my life, and I try to make sure that I hear His voice as He's speaking and leading and guiding through the Holy Spirit, you all, so that we can, again, become the men and women who God desires us to be.
Amen.
Because I'm going to tell you something. The old version of me, I just don't like.
Amen.
Can I say that? The old version, the person that I was before I came to know Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, I don't like that guy. I don't like that guy because that guy was not such a nice guy. Now, some people who knew me when I was young would say, well, Todd, I don't ever really know you to be a bad person. That's because you were not with me 24 hours a day.
Amen.
Amen. You don't know all my idiosyncrasies, praise God. You don't know all my little hidden secrets. You don't know the things that I used to do. You know, my middle name, Todd, amen. My middle name, Todd, actually means sly fox. And believe you me, I operated in that capacity when I was younger, amen. I mean, I'm just being real with you all. Now, praise God that my first name is an English name, and it means comfort, Elwood. And so it also means a tree. I don't know, you know, but praise God, well, I'll go with the comfort part more so now with a tree, amen. But with that being the case, you know, ultimately, I thank God that I transitioned from the sly fox in the name of Jesus to being a person who loves God and bring words of comfort to people to help them through their toils, their pains, their struggles, their difficulties, whatever it is that they may be experiencing. So over here in Romans chapter 5 verse 1, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Or through our Lord Jesus Christ. I think that's vitally important. I don't know about you, that we have peace with God. God could really wreck our lives. Amen. God could allow us to be the victims of our own circumstances. And sometimes we are. Sometimes we suffer from the consequences of our actions. But ultimately, if we think about it, the things that we rightfully deserve for the things in which we do on a daily basis, God allows us escape through Christ Jesus. It doesn't mean we have permission to act any old kind of way. It does not mean that because God forgave us or mercy has ushered us into a new day, that means that we can just do anything any old way at any time. We just can't talk to people any kind of way. We just can't treat people any kind of way. We just can't act any old kind of way. We can't have a Burger King day. Hold the pickle, hold the lettuce, special orders don't upset us. Amen. We can't be those people. Praise God. We have to make sure that we personify who Christ Jesus is in our life each and every day, that people may have hope and know that God is still moving in our lives. Amen. Praise God. And I thank God for that, that I can feel His presence in my life, that I always say this, people who've been with me for a little while, that I can be a better husband. Because I'm going to tell y'all something. I could be a tyrant. I could be a pain in the McGillicuddy. Men, who in here married? Praise God. Raise your hand if you're married. Let's just be honest. Can't you be a pain in the McGillicuddy? Look, I see wives shaking their head before the man even get a chance to answer. Praise God. But listen, at the end of the day, sometimes I'm not going to answer that question right now, but we'll talk about it at a later time, Pastor. Man, you quiet. But at the end of the day, I know I can be a handful. How many of us know that we can? All of us. Whether you're a male or female, it doesn't matter. We can be a handful. So I thank God that I'm at peace with the Lord. That doesn't mean that my every days are going to be sunshine. It does not mean that everything is going to, all my stars are going to be aligned with the moon and that everything is going to fall in place. It does not mean I have all the money that I need. It does not mean that I have all the material things that I would like to enjoy in life. But what I do know is that I have peace with God. And that's worth more than $1 million. Amen. It's worth more than any money, any material things. It's worth more than anything I could ever have in life. Because when I have peace with God, there's four things I don't have to worry about. When I have peace with God, hear me good. There are four things that I don't have to worry about. The first one is annoyance. Now, don't get me wrong. There's some things that from time to time get on my nerves. Amen. There's some time, there's a thing that agitates me or aggravates me. There are times wherein, you know, I have these little shortcomings about myself. Or, you know, I thank God that I have peace, because I'm telling you all, yesterday I decided to go into Walmart. Now, I didn't know if they were having rollback specials on everything, but the parking lot was packed, and so was the entire place. I've never seen so many people in Walmart except for at Christmas, and we're in August. And I was trying to figure out what in the world was going on. Every line was filled. People were bumping into each other, carts running. You would have thought they were saying it was the end of the world or that there was some big catastrophe on its way and people needed to get supplies. People were everywhere. And that is one of the easiest times to become what? Annoyed. It is. Because we're so important as people that when we get to Walmart, we want things moving fast our way. Amen.
Amen.
Even the 15 item less lines are not moving fast. Nothing's moving at all. Everybody's returning stuff. The line is way down the aisle. The grocery section is packed. I mean, everything that potentially could be wrong if anybody was in a rush to get into Walmart to get somewhere was wrong. But I thank God I was not what? Annoyed.
Amen.
I took my time. My wife sat outside in the car with our granddaughter, and she waited on me as I went into Walmart and got my shopping done. I was trying to be expeditious, considering the fact that she was outside, so that we could get back home. But one of the things I've come to realize that when I have peace with God, I don't have to become easily annoyed at everything.
Amen.
Because somebody says something to me wrong, I don't have to become annoyed.
That's it. Amen.
Because things didn't go right at the job, I don't have to become what?
Annoyed.
Because maybe I thought my wife Mary should have had dinner ready for me at home, but there was no dinner at home waiting on me. I don't have to be what?
Annoyed.
Amen.
Yeah, because the car keeps going on the blink. I don't have to be what?
Annoyed.
I know it. Because I have peace with who? God. Through who? Jesus Christ. And so the first of the four things, I don't have to be annoyed. The second thing, you all, is I don't have to be easily distracted. Why is that significant and important? Because sometimes there's some things that people just do that just takes your breath away, doesn't it?
Amen.
And you're easily amazed at how people do some of the craziest things. And you put your hand on your head like this and you say, I can't believe what I just what? Saw. And so now we allow our whole day to be consumed by a distraction, which eventually becomes a stronghold, because you had it on your mind when you first saw it happen in the morning. It's on your mind midday. It's on your mind when you get home. It's on your mind when you go to bed. And you can't stop talking about this thing because you were so easily what?
Distracted.
When we have peace with God, we don't allow some of the people's quirkiness to consume who we are on a daily basis, do we?
Amen.
Because can I be honest with everybody in here? We all are what? Quirky. Every one of us has some things about us that's going to irritate, or that's not going to necessarily work within the framework of what people think life should be about. We all have this picture, or we all have this outlook of life, and that we want everybody to fit into, but everybody's not going to fit into that square or that round hole. Amen. Because people are what? Different.
Amen.
We all are. Every one of us. Short, tall, skinny, thick, young, old. Yeah, like I said, thick, right? you know, black, white, Asian, Spanish. We all are created different. Hair, bald. You know, I didn't have a choice in this. Praise God. It's just a part of, age. Praise God. It stops growing right. And so, you know, that could be one of my annoyances, that I wake up every morning, walk in and look in the mirror and be mad because I see some people with a head full of hair and mine won't grow right. That's just some of the things that we easily get what? Distracted by.
Distracted.
Amen.
I'll never forget the day I used to keep my hair cut in a military style cut, which we call fades. And we were on the cruise. We were getting ready to go on the cruise before my wife and I back years ago. We were about to go on a cruise. And I decided, well, I'm going to try a bald head. Now, I didn't realize that my hair was really leaving me like that. I really did not, because I had a nice little thickness on top of my head. That guy cut my hair. It never grew back. I don't know if it was the blade. I don't know if it was a bad barber. I don't know what it was, but my hair would never grow back. And those are some of the things that we get distracted by, isn't it? Because we're trying to be... These are some of the little simple, minute things that distracts us on a daily basis. There's a third thing, anxiety. When we have peace with God, it eliminates, and if it does not, it minimizes the anxiety that each and every one of us experience, the uneasiness of mind. Amen. Because sometimes we become extremely anxious, but the Bible tells us over in Philippians chapter 4 to be anxious for what?
Nothing.
Don't let this thing cause you to be anxious and nervous and off kilter. You know, sometimes we get antsy about stuff. And I've come to realize in my life, I don't have to be antsy about stuff.
Amen.
Because stuff is going to be what? Stuff.
Stuff.
Really, it is. You know how it is? You go to the car dealership, you sit down, and you want to get a new car, and all of a sudden, you know, you're excited about it, but you're really kind of antsy because you're trying to figure out what these people are going to come back with numbers. You know, I don't know what the numbers are looking like. And they always play a game with each customer that comes in. They do. I don't care who you are. It's always a game with them. And you get antsy. I get antsy. I don't get antsy no more because I've come to realize that that vehicle I'm coming to buy does not define my life. And if you're not going to give me the deal I'm looking for, someone else will down the road. And if the run down the road won't give me the deal that I'm looking for, then I just won't get a car at all. Or I just, at that point, either become satisfied with what it is that they're giving me, or again, I just have nothing what? At all. Because I have peace with who?
God.
When we went house shopping, my wife and I, almost 2 years ago, to purchase a home, I love our realtor. God knows I do. This guy is fantastic. John Medeiros. I don't know if he's looking, but John is a fantastic guy. John laid out all these houses for us, and he says, hey, listen, these are the ones that I think are best for you. He gave us a booklet, you all. It was almost like the Yellow Pages. Y'all remember that back in the day?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, he had every listing in the world in there, and he said, hey, these are all the listings that are within your price range. He says, but this is what I'm going to do. I want you to eliminate these. I want you to eliminate these. I want you to look at these right here. He made the process very easy. But for me, it became much more easier because I had already made up in my mind, whichever one she says it is, it goes. Yes. There's no need of us fighting over it. There's no need of us arguing about it. You know, at the end of the day, whatever she said, if she says that this is the house that I want. And then he also told us something that was pretty neat. He says, name the houses.
Yes.
And name them in the order. Give each house a name. And so we did that. And the house we're in, I think you called it the handsome house. She called it the handsome house. So I thought she was talking about me, and so that's the one we bought. I thought she was saying he was a handsome house. I don't know, but that's the one she named. That's the one we bought. Amen. I could have been jealous and think she was talking about somebody else and not bought the house at all. But at the end of the day, that was, and so I didn't have to be antsy about that situation. Because I believed God that we were going to get that house. And God made ways out of no way. And he made such a way out of no way that even before we got to the settlement table, I got a phone call from the lender and said, hey, guess what? I said, what? He said, they're going to drop you another 0.5%. No extra money. I said, you said what? And so when you go in trusting God at every turn and at every level, it doesn't mean that you're not going to have days that are difficult, but at every level when we go in and trust God, when we know we have peace with God,
amen,
we don't have to wrestle with life. We don't. The fourth thing I'm going to give you all real quickly is we don't have to be obsessed about things. We don't. Because, you know, obsession causes us to grab our toys from the sandbox and walk away. You know, this is mine. Not yours, this is mine.
Amen.
And God does not want us to have that mindset. God wants us to be a little bit free. But I'm going to give y'all a little story about having peace with God. Y'all ready?
Amen.
Because this is real life stuff for me, you all. So Friday, I got off work early. I decided to take the HOV because the traffic was high on 95 southbound. I live in the Triangle area. And so it was packed. I don't know what was going on at 10 a.m. Friday morning that it was so much traffic, southbound. But, you know, I saw it. I jumped in the HOV lane. I'm riding down. And so I have to go to Shoppers because my daughter wants me to pick up turkey wings because she's going to cook turkey wings for the weekend. And so I have to get off on the Dumfries exit of the HOV. And so I get off, the traffic is really moving real slow. And so I ease my way into the left lane, wait for an opening to get into the middle lane. I get into the middle lane, right by the way station. Y'all with me, y'all know what I'm talking about, praise God. After we get past, right as we're getting ready to pass the way station, I see an opening, so I slide over into the right lane. And y'all know how it is when you start sliding over into a lane, somebody don't want you to be there, right?
Yes.
And you know, they drive, they put the foot to the gas, and they just ride right up on you. Because they don't want you to get in front of them. Because they're that important. So you know what the guy does next, don't you? He gives me the freedom finger.
Oh, Lord.
He gives me the freedom finger.
And I'm looking in my rearview mirror, and I could have been mad about it because now he's riding my bumper. And he's looking at me, he's mean mugging me and all this stuff. And so I look in my side view mirror, I wave at him, I smile, and I keep on driving. And so we get ready to get to the 234 exit, and I take the exit. And all of a sudden, I realized that when I started taking the exit, he had put on his signal too, but he had put on the brakes. Y'all know why he put on the brakes, right? Because now we're taking the same exit, and he done gave me the freedom finger. And so he don't know what to expect from me. But with that being the case, I have peace with who?
God.
I do. And so I'll be honest with y'all, I decided to give him a little scare. I did. I got to be honest with y'all. I decided to give him a little scare. And so when you come off the exit, there's a gas station there. So I pull into the gas station. I let him ride on by. I pull right on out. I did. Now, I don't ride up on him. I don't do that because I don't know who I'm dealing with. I really don't. And I'm not going to get into no road rage with anybody. I just don't have time for that. I'm too old for that. I don't fight like that anymore. I'm not, you know, I know. In my mind, I feel young, but I know in the morning I wake up with bad backaches and headaches and knee aches, and this bone is no longer connected to that bone and stuff, all that kind of stuff. So I'm not that individual anymore. But I decided to give him a little wake-up call, though. You know, I let him ride past, I jumped out, and he saw me jump out, and he had probably, when my car is out there, I was probably about right. He had probably about three cars between us. And what's interesting is he was so fearful, he decided to turn to Shoppers. I was already on my way to what? Shoppers. I said, imagine that. We're going the same way. And so he turns in, and I turn in, and I can see now he's kind of really jittery about this situation. And so to try to ease his pain, I just go ahead and make the first left into the parking lot as he drove past that one. But then he makes the next left into the parking lot, and he hides his car behind some other cars. And I said, this guy is really messed up now. Do you think I'm coming after him? And I went on to park my car, and once I parked my car, he sped off, and he made a quick left, got back onto the thing, and got on the driveway, and you can see him speed off down the street. But this is the thing about having peace with God, because I could have really became a pain in the what? McGillicuddy. I really could have. And had he got somebody else, he potentially could have gotten the wrong person, because we see all these things that's going on out here in the world today. But I don't have to be that person, because I have peace with who? God. He doesn't have peace because he was angry over the fact. Look at what bothered him. The fact that I got into the lane in front of him, he felt it was worth giving me the freedom finger. That's just where we are today in life, that people are so angry and upset and so messed up about what's going on in the world today, or everybody feels that they're so important in life that nobody else really what? Matters. And that's not Christ, because Christ desires for us to love what? One another. God desires for us to help what? One another. God desires for us to stand for who? One another. God desires for us to walk in harmony together with who? One another. And so when things like that happen, I have to always remind myself that greater is he that is in me than what? He that's in the what? World. So Christ is greater. And this is what God expects for us. God expects for all of us to be what? Greater. Amen. Greater than whatever the situation is you find yourself in, God desires all of us to rise above the situation and exemplify who Christ Jesus is in our what? Lives. And this is what he says that's so important about not only having peace with God, but the very next verse in verse 2 says this in Romans chapter 5. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace. God's unmerited what? Favor. So not only are we walking in peace with God, but we have access to God's favor. Him working towards your life and the things in which you desire, God works. Why would I want to give up God's grace to appease my flesh? I don't. Paul says something very interesting. Paul, thank you, Lord. Paul says something very interesting in Galatians chapter 2. And I'm going to close in just a minute. Are y'all with me this morning?
Yes.
Am I making sense this morning?
Yes.
Paul says something in Galatians chapter 2 that I really love. Now, an incident just happened. In Galatians chapter 2, an incident just happened. An incident just happened. And it's something that is common among people. So what happens in Galatians chapter 2 is that there's some men from Antioch, and they're coming, and they're still legalistic in their ways. They are. Now, Christ Jesus has already gone. We're operating in a dispensation of grace. But they're legalistic in their ways, and so Peter is hanging out with the Gentiles. Now, everybody knows that the Gentiles is anybody else that's not Jewish. If anybody else is not Jewish by birth, is a Gentile, what the Bible says. And so Peter is hanging out now with some Gentiles. They're just having some fun time together. But prior to Christ's death on the cross, the Jews and the Gentiles were supposed to remain what? Separate. But now that Christ died on the cross, he says they're all now one in me. There's no longer the Jew. There's no longer the Gentile. There's just one in who? Christ Jesus. So there's no more white, black, Spanish, Asian, Russian, Italian, English, African. There's no more all that in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus sees us all as what? One. Romans says he's got a respect of who? Persons. He loves all. He does. He died for all. He gave his life. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever loves him shall have what? Or choose him shall have what? Everlasting what? Life. Whoever. It doesn't matter. So now they're all one. So there's a fight. Now Christ died for all of that. But now there's a situation, there's an incident in Galatians that happens in our lives, especially when we start hanging with people that our friends and family don't like us hanging with. It's right there in Galatians chapter 2. And so when the men from Antioch show up, Peter walks away from the Gentiles. He's no longer, he's now acting Jewish again. How do you think it made the Gentiles feel? We've been hanging out, eating, and fellowshipping together, and all of a sudden, I'm going to put it this way, as they say in our community, your peeps, which means people, your peeps showed up. And so now you don't want to hang out with me anymore. And the Apostle Paul calls Peter a hypocrite. He gets right to his face and he says, you hypocrite. And he says, your ways are so bad that it's even caused the other disciples to follow hypocrisy with you. I'm closing in just a minute, but I need y'all to walk with me on this right here, because this is really important to all of us, because we have access to God's grace. And why would I give up God's grace to appease somebody else? Why would I give up God's favor on my life to make somebody else feel good about themselves, when God has given me freedom? He's given me liberty. He's put me in a position, you all, that I can live without feeling as though I'm bound by this world's mess.
Amen.
And so they walk away, and they're looking at Peter, and Peter, you know, he's hiding this thing. So this is what Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. He says this: now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, James was the bishop, the first bishop, he would eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. The circumcision was no longer valid. The new circumcision in Christ Jesus, the old circumcision was the covenant of God underneath the old covenant, whereas every male born Jewish, or every male that came into the Jewish faith that was not Jewish, had to be circumcised. If you was born Jewish, by the eighth day, you had to be circumcised in your flesh. That was God's covenant for those who were Jewish. But if you and I decided that we wanted to become a part of the Jewish faith, it doesn't matter what age we are, as males, we have to be what? Circumcised. In Christ Jesus, all that was what? Done away with. In Christ Jesus, the new circumcision is of the what? Heart. Pulling away the foreskin, that which is no longer good, and having a clean heart in Christ who? Jesus. But the people then, after Christ had already died, they still wanted to practice grace and circumcision. And they wanted Paul and them, and they wanted Peter and them to make sure the people got circumcised. The people, how many of y'all know it? How many of y'all as a grown man want to get circumcised? as a grown man. Did you know you will not walk for the next 2 to 3 weeks? Can I just be real about it? Come on, y'all. Y'all can laugh about this situation. You know we're not going to walk for the next 2 to 3 weeks. As a grown man being circumcised. You think you want to be circumcised at that particular point in time? Absolutely not. They didn't want that at all. And so here, Paul says this, and I got to close. I really do. I got to close. Here's what Paul says. Paul says, and we're talking about, now, I don't want to give up the grace of God, because we have access by faith to God's what? Grace. We have access to God's favor, which means that you can go to God and ask God what your heart desires are. And as long as it's not outside of God's will, God will bless you. Now, as long as it's not outside of God's will, God will bless you. God will never bless you with something that's going to be outside of his will. God will never bless you with something that's going to destroy you. But God does says in Psalm 37:4, he will give you the desires of your what? Heart. If you delight in his what? Ways. That's what he says. So God doesn't mind giving you nice and good things. He don't. He don't mind blessing. But without Christ Jesus being the forefront of your mind, without Christ Jesus being your Lord and Savior, all the rest is really foolishness. And so he says, before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas, and why is this significant? Because Barnabas' name means comforter. And Barnabas is the one who introduced Saul, who became Paul, to the rest of the disciples. Isn't that interesting? Because the rest of the disciples didn't want anything to do with Saul, because Saul was a killer. But because of Christ Jesus' grace and mercy and having an interaction with Saul became who? Paul. And so Paul is no longer the old person. You know what I said early on? I don't like the old version of who? Me. I like the new version better. The 3.0 version. The 1.0 was just bad. But the 3.0 version is a lot what? Better. And so I like the new me better than I like the old me. Because the old me, I used to get mad at everything. I would quit and walk away, frustrated, fight, argue. Couldn't tell me nothing. Couldn't stay in correction. And so here it is. He says this. But when I saw that you were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you being a Jew live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? Wait a minute. If you was living like Jews, I mean like the Gentiles, now all of a sudden these people show up, you want them to act like Jews? But you were living like them, but now these people show up, you want them to act like you? No, absolutely not. He says, Peter, you're a hypocrite. Verse 15. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. That was the work of the law, you all. That old legalism. He says, you're not going to get into heaven with that. I'm going to tell y'all something right now. If our minds are not created new in Christ Jesus, if we don't have a new heart, you all, if we're not changing our ways, you will not see heaven. If Jesus is not your personal Lord and Savior, you haven't believed in him that he died on the cross, and you have not confessed him with your mouth, you will not see who? Heaven. I don't care how many services you go to. I don't care how many churches you go to. I don't care how much good work you do. If you have not accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you will not see who? Heaven. And you cannot put new wine in what? In other words, you can't just say, I accept Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, but still act the way you used to what?
Act. Amen.
There has to be a transformation. There has to be a change. Our whole minds have to change. And so here it is. This is where I'm done at, you all. He says this. I'm going to drop down to verse 20. He says this. And this is what I'm talking about, not giving up the grace of God. I refuse to give up the grace of God for anybody. Anybody. I don't change from who I am to make people feel comfortable about themselves. I don't want to forfeit what God is doing for me. So listen to this right here. My granddaughter's calling me. She's like, come on. All right, so here we are, verse 20. He says, for I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. I do not set aside the grace of God. I'm going to say that one more time. I do not set aside the grace of God. I'm going to walk in his favor. I'm going to seek him for my life. I'm going to trust him in all my ways. I'm going to acknowledge him in everything that I do. Because at the end of the day, I don't want to lose God's favor on my life. And neither do I want to be at enemy with him. I want to walk in what? Peace. Which surpasses what? All understanding. And so I have that available to me because of the relationship that I have with God. No different than you all have it available to you. Because of your relationship with God. Why would I give that up to make somebody else feel okay with themselves? Amen? Amen. Come on, let's give God some praise this morning. Hallelujah. I refuse to set aside the grace of God.
Amen.
To convenience anybody else.
That's right.
I want to live this life in peace, you all. I do.
Amen.
I can't account for what everybody else does or do. I can only account for who?
Myself.
Amen.
And if my wife might be angry with somebody, that don't mean I have to be what?
Right.
Angry with them. Amen. And the only time I get angry with somebody who gets angry with my wife is when they try to do something to my wife. Then we got a whole other problem. But just because my wife may not be happy with somebody, doesn't mean I have to be unhappy with them as well. Or if I'm unhappy with somebody, doesn't mean that my wife has to be what? Unhappy with them.
Amen.
No. Mm-hmm. I don't. Because I'm going to live a life. I'm going to let my life so shine that my good works will cause men to glorify my Father who is in what?
Heaven.
That's right.
Amen. Praise God, everybody.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.